Okay, there we go. Now we'll pick the begin recording. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy God, thank you very much for this evening, and thank you for the day that we have experienced. We know that it simply adds to whatever it is that we need to become mature men and women of God. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to walk in grace. Help us to be all that you want us to be. And Father, we know that that includes talking to those who do not even believe that you exist. And as we talk about that tonight, Father, help us to know how to deal with such people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so I do want us to gain some lessons from an atheist. But before we do that, I want to tell you about an email that I got today. It's about Australians praying for America. And here's how it begins. General George Washington, Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, proclaimed a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer for May 6, 1779. He then ordered a one-day cessation of recreation and unnecessary labor so that his soldiers could observe the day. 236 years later, this proclamation is being answered by, for America by Christians in Australia. Lana Vosser, an Australian Christian, explains, "There is a fight for the destiny of the USA right now." An Australian is concerned about that. "The destiny of America hangs in the balance. The Lord is calling His people to arise and pray for the United States of America. It is time to contend." Allison Jessup explains, "We in Australia believe it is our turn to bless the nation of America and pray for healing for the USA through prayer and fasting according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people who are called by my name repent, you know, then he'll heal the land. We in Australia are grateful for the protection that America gave Australia and the nations of the free world during World War II. So we're still getting payoffs, so to speak, this many years later. Last year, we had people from over 40 nations join with us. This year, we are believing for over 100 nations." Maybe she meant to say... Okay, I jumped the paragraph, sorry. Okay, "We in Australia are grateful for the protection that America gave Australia and the nations of the free world during World War II. The 1942 Battle of the Coral Sea, led by the USA, was the turning point in the Second World War for Australia." Matt Prater adds, "We are calling the nations of the world to join in prayer and fasting with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the USA. Last year, we had people from over 40 nations join with us. This year, we are believing for over 100 nations to join us in prayer and fasting for the USA." And then this guy said, "Australians have been praying and fasting for Americans from April 30th to today. They are not the only believers interceding for the U.S. in these challenging days. I know of many Cuban Christians who pray daily for spiritual awakening in America." Wow, Cuban people praying for America. That's like what I heard one time when California, well, they're having a drought again, but when they had a drought back in the 70s or 80s, it was somebody in one of the African nations that is... Even their rich people are poorer than the poor people of California. And did I say that right? Yeah. Wanted to know, they were looking, and this was not in some church paper, this was in our local paper in Klamath Falls. They were looking to find out how they could help. One congregation has painted a world map on its back wall above a prayer altar. Its members take... Let's see. So anyways, I just thought that was very interesting. and I'm glad. I've heard a lot of things about Australians and how they think and feel about Americans, and how many times they stick with us and back us when other nations don't. And God bless them for that. Tracy, that's for you later. Okay, has anyone heard of Penn Gillette? Penn and Tiller? Teller? I want to say the magical team. The magician team. How would you say that? They're really good. They've been doing magic together for 40 years. Or at least 40 years. One guy's big. I don't know how tall he is, but he looks like a giant. And the other one's short. One is verbal and bold and aggressive, the big guy, and the little guy never says anything. He's totally silent. Although I did see an interview today where he agreed to talk to the interviewer if it was done in his home. I have no idea why that is. It was interesting to hear him talk. But these guys are good. If you've ever seen them. Like this one magic trick I saw them doing. You know where they saw a woman in half? They said, well, we're going to show you how that's done. You know, so there's a woman in the thing, and Penn brings down this big circular saw that's coming down, and of course the woman screams and everything, and then they pull the table apart. And then he, you know, puts it back together again, and he shows you, well, here's how that's done, and he lifts it up, and you can see how her body actually goes down below the table a little bit, but they had a covering here, and they took that away, and you can see her body. So he said, now, and so see, the saw has a bar in it, so it'll stop right here. And he kept doing that, it'll stop right here. And then he kind of acted like it broke, and blood went everywhere and everything, and the lady's screaming, and they opened it up, and of course she was, you know, blood's gushing out and everything. So he was going to tell you how the trick was done, but he didn't really tell you how it was done. It was still kept secret. It was just, I thought, wow. And some of the other things they did. Well, as Phil Friesen said, they're both atheists, but Penn is the one who's very vocal about it. He's often interviewed, but I hesitate to tell you to watch any of the interviews because he's got a potty mouth. Okay. In fact, I guess he has a show on HBO that I can't say the name of the show. I'd probably get fired if I did. Okay. But he's smart. He's an intelligent man. And he'll sit there and he'll reason with you and he'll listen to what you have to say. And he'll go after even, you know, liberals that he would tend to side with. If he thinks they're off, he'll let them have it. And so he lets us have it. You know, he shows why he thinks there's not a God, so forth and so on. But I was reading this July-September 2010 issue of Answers Magazine. This is put out by Answers in Genesis or Ken Ham, the Creation Museum. Same people. And in it, they had an article written, and I'll give you a copy of this here in just a minute. That's the team right there. And Penn, by the way, even though he's a big guy, he's lost 100 pounds, I guess, recently. So I saw a more recent video of him, and I thought, wow, he looks different. And he usually has his hair up like that. I'm going to show you a video in a moment, and his hair is going to be all down. And as he talks, he's going to be constantly moving around. But don't let that bother you, Tracy. He's 6'6". And the other guy's 5'9". 6'6 and 5'9". Wow, that's quite a difference. But this man who wrote the article, Carl Kirby, titled it 10 Lessons from an Atheist. And that's because after one of his shows, a man approached him and gave him a Bible. And I want you to notice what this zealous atheist said about that. And then I'll pass out the article and then we'll talk about it. And of course, now the thing's gone to sleep there. Okay, come back on. I should have had you Okay, there. That's waking up. All right. Okay, can we turn those lights off, Rick? And the volume on there should be all set, Rick. And I'll get this one too. All of them off.
About this, I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks, and you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy, and. He had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said... I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, "I brought this for you." And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Or Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, "I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing." And then he said, "I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy." And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell, or not getting eternal life, or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this, because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. But this guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you, Rick. Okay, let me shut this off. Some of that was hard for me to understand, but the guy who wrote this article transcribed a good part of it, so that I was glad for that.
Watching him in his hair, that was good.
Say that again?
Watching him in his hair.
Yeah. Drop this here. And there's two extra there for Tim and his mother there, Marie. I got plenty. Please take them. Okay, look at lesson one there. First, he gives the quotation from Penn Jillette. At the end of the show, we talk to folks, sign the occasional autograph, shake hands, and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side. He walked over to me and said, "I was here last night at the show and I liked it." And this guy said he was there the night before and came back. How many times have we passed up an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? Remember this, we can usually go back. And that reminded me of a situation I had with one of my dermatologists here in town. He has since retired. But I was laying down and he had cut something off of my chest pretty close up to my face. And then he's cauterizing it. You know what cauterizing is? You know, that's where they're burning the flesh. And it's wafting right up into my nose. I'm smelling my own flesh burning. That was an interesting experience. And I made a comment about that. And he said, "You can tell your congregation that this is what it's going to be like in hell. You know, smelling your own flesh burning." And you know what I said? "That's what I preach." Why in the world did I say that? Have you ever heard me preach that? I've been here over 12 and a half years. Maybe I just wanted to hurry up and get done with the thing or something. I don't know. So the next time, you know, I went back and I said, both to him and to his nurse, "You know, well, I have no idea why I said that. Yes, I believe there's a hell and whatever the Bible says about it, but I don't stand in front of the congregation and say, now, if you don't repent, you're going to smell your flesh burning for all eternity. Okay? You what? Yeah, so, right, there you go. So, you know, I went back, is my point, and talked to him. And also, I tried to invite him. Did I ask him one time, are you a church member? Because he seemed like he leaned in that direction. And he just cut me off and said, I pray direct. And what he meant by that was, he likes to hike and go out into the forest. So I don't go through the church, and I don't want anything to do with it. Okay. But the point is you can go back. Sometimes you can't. If you can, go back. In my case, I had to make a correction. Or maybe you can go back because of a missed opportunity. Or maybe you can just go back because, you know, it's not that you missed an opportunity, not that you made a mistake like I did, but you thought about it, and something about this guy touched you, so you want to do something. And in this case, he gave him a Bible because he knows he's an atheist. All right? Lesson number two on the next page. He was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. Why is it important to compliment people? Even people with whom we disagree. Yeah, so to me it's kind of disarming. You know, it lets them push down their defenses and just kind of cools things off. This wasn't necessarily at the point of arguing or anything, but he's heard Penn Jillette argue in the past, and so this disarmed him. To me it seemed like at a certain point there he got choked up. And then later he lifted his glasses and it looked to me like he was wiping a tear. I don't know, Tracy? Say that again?
I think the saying is that you draw more flies than honey.
Right.
If you're going to attract more people, if you show them that you're loving and kind and warm rather than focusing on the reasons why they're wrong.
Right. And I think with someone like this, or anyone, it doesn't even have to be an atheist, but anyone that you're in an argument with, or I shouldn't even say argument, just a disagreement, it soon becomes nothing more than you winning the argument. And that's not what we're about. What is that? So I'm going to win this confrontation. But what is it we really want to win? Their souls. That's right. And that's what we have to remember. So it means we're playing by different rules. It's like criminals. You know, the police, the poor police officers, you know, they have to operate by the rules. I say poor police officers, I mean, that's a good thing. But what I meant was, the criminal doesn't play by rules. He's supposed to. But, you know, the policeman, if he breaks the rules, he's going to be in more trouble than the criminal is. Well, it's kind of like that with us. Not only do we want to deal with the argument and offer sound reasoning and so on, but we also want to have the right disposition because we want to convert them. He doesn't care if he has the right disposition or not. So it's like we've got two concerns. You follow what I'm saying? Carrie? Right.
Immediately. And I think that's just so subtle, but
Yeah, and so much so that he made a video about it. Probably, you know, on some kind of handheld camera, probably his smartphone or something like that. And then I don't know if he posted it or if he passed it on to someone and someone else posted it on the internet or what. But, you know, obviously, you know, it made an impression, Rick. Okay. All right. So sometimes we need to pet the cat. Okay. Yes. Glenda? Yeah, you know, I was wondering what he meant by that, and that you're probably right. It's probably because he's used to hearing him use language that's not so good, and this time he was clean, and so he's told him, I like that. You're still a good magician, and even funny without the bad language. You know, I don't know why people think they have to add that. You know, Beverly? Can I say that again? Oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe the actual this video was actually the reverse happening. You know, it's hard to say. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to consider the arguments for atheism, but it's teaching me how I need to deal with him. But I hadn't thought about what you said. Pardon? Right, he still said there's no God. He says, one nice guy is not going to make me think that there's a God all of a sudden. You know, and this guy in that article will deal with that there. Okay, lesson number 3. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it Psalms is from the New Testament, right? You know, so it's kind of broken up there. The author said, I can see you chuckling now, but don't mock. Anyone could easily misspeak. Even if your listener doesn't know that Psalms isn't in the New Testament, he deserves patience and respect. But I can see why some people would think Psalms is in the New Testament. You what? That's right. You can buy a New Testament with Psalms.
Usually says
Psalms and. Right. But why do we do that?
Psalms and John. I've seen the little one. Psalms was in there. Psalms